Pamela, thanks for doing your job eventually.
So, I've come to the conclusion that...
Oh, God.
No, it's very strange, but...
This is going to be, like, one of those way off-topic, like, world view. Hey, you can see me. Hi. Craziness. Not everybody else, sorry, I shouldn't say that. No. Only Travis can see me now.
It's not off-topic to anything, because we haven't been talking
okay,
about anything.
Give me your resolution. Give me your insight.
So, I've come to the conclusion that I only poop out corn when I'm sick.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Two Trolls and a Brew. I'm Samus. He's Travis. This week, I'm sore with a runny nose, and Travis is just ill.
Yeah, I'm just sick.
Both mentally and physically.
Whoa, what makes you say it's mentally?
Because you just put your feces in everyone's mental picture.
Yeah, but my body always digests corn unless I'm sick.
Nobody's body digests corn. Corn is the devil.
My body only doesn't digest it when I'm sick. I've only ever seen poop in my corn.
Only seen poop in your corn
yeah.
when you're
sick? Yeah.
I'm going to poop in your corn the next time I see it also, and then life will be good. This is not a podcast about pooping. We apologize.
Or bowel movements of any kind.
That's correct. Theoretically, this is a Magic Gathering podcast. We're two trolls and a brew. This week's title, A Master of All Formats. Subtitle, You Know You Can Play with Good Cards. So I understand the title because you sent me a message, I think at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, hey man, remember that Pokemon list I sent you like a long time ago? Apparently it's really good now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, and you talked about how you are clearly a master in all
formats.
So that's why I decided we had to talk about that just a little bit.
Okay.
But I don't understand this, you know you can play with good cards comment.
That was actually said to me this past Friday night during the F&M because, you know, one of the dudes that I play with, he likes to play all the top-tier meta decks. And sure. Every time I go in there with, well, my troll decks, and I always do, you know, at very worst, 3-2. And there's, with the exception of Modern, every time I've gone in there with the deck, I've gone, you know, 3-2, 4-1, 5-0 in every F&M with not, you know, top-tier decks. So he was just like, you know, you can win with good cards.
Well, that's true.
And I'm like, yeah, but why would I do that when I can do it with these ones that I'm already winning with?
I mean, there's some point to his argument. I do understand, like, I did go deep into that PPTQ with what people consider good cards, Chidrino in particular. But
all right,
just because we see value in cards that other people don't see, I guess I don't understand why we all have to agree on what's a good card.
Right.
I guess that's my problem. Because a lot of things. Just like in real life, Magic also involves knowing what's good in context. You know, you take something out of context, sometimes it doesn't make sense or it seems wrong, but you put the context back in and all of a sudden everything seems fine. So I think there's a lot of that, and people just can't form their own decisions on things. And, you know, people who talk about Magic are often highly opinionated on things.
No.
Maybe you figured that out from our podcast thus far in the past, that you know, we're pretty opinionated on things, and a lot of times we're right and a lot of times we're wrong. but we're always right.
Exactly.
Like, remember how really hardcore we were on Chandra, and everybody else was like, oh, this card is terrible. What does it even do? It doesn't do anything.
With Planeswalker? Like,
yeah, now it's like a $45 Planeswalker that's seeing play in multiple decks, and it's the best best version of Chandra ever printed. Not that it needed a lot of work for that. But, I mean, now it's just a monster of a card. And I'm like, yeah.
We know.
Of course it was. That's what we said, like, when we saw the preview card, like, it was 2 hours old, and Travis and I were talking, and we're like, this card is ridiculous. And everyone poo-pooed on it for, like, 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, this card is great. Same thing. Like, figuring out the context of something is going to be there is a thing. With that in mind, I still have not figured out this sealed format at all. And apparently it involves having all the bombs
at all times.
And all the removal at all times. I play every piece of removal I can, essentially, in my decks. And, yeah, I still get owned right in the face by Oblivion Strikes. Just constantly just destroys me. Clearly it's the best limited removal spell you're going to get your hands on, but it just puts me on tilt so hard. So it's my troll card this week, Oblivion Strike. Not good and constructed, probably. I think it's a black and four to exile a creature, which might be good enough, but I don't know. It's a monster in sealed, that's for sure. What's your card, and why is it your troll card, bro?
Well, my troll card is actually one of the previewed cards that I am working a deck around, or at least, you know, thinking about currently. And that is Prized Amalgam? Amalgam?
Amalgam?
Yeah, you know, whatever.
So what's it do?
That one says, whenever a... Hold on. Let me get the wording exact so I don't, you know, screw up this new card.
Okay. I mean, we're not on a clock or anything. We'll just stand here and play with our pudding while we wait for you to get your shenanigans together.
Yeah, well, as soon as my phone decides to quit being stupid...
See how I'm filling the dead air with random noise, waiting for you and your preparedness?
Yeah.
Did you know I was going to ask this question?
I know, I'm really good at being ahead of the game.
I know, it's not like we haven't been podcasting for, what is it now, like 25 episodes almost?
Yeah, for 25 weeks, yeah, no.
I mean, let me just check here.
So, whenever...
24th episode.
Are you sure?
It's according to the website.
Oh, okay.
SamusGarobo.com.
Okay, so it costs blue, black, and a colorless. It's a 3/3 zombie.
Okay,
it says,
zombie.
Whenever a creature enters the battlefield, if it entered from your graveyard or you cast it from your graveyard, return Prized Amalgam from your graveyard to the battlefield at the beginning of the next end step.
You know, I thought I had actually saw this card because it's in the tweak. Or the corral. It's not what it's called. I forget what it's called. But it's actually up on the MTG Salvation like 5 hours ago.
Yeah.
So basically what you're telling me is it is a regrowing creature. And it pops up at the...
At the beginning of the next end step.
Tapped.
Yeah.
But you still cast it again for free. Or you get it again for free. Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
So what's your concept to get this bad boy back, and to what end?
Okay, so currently there's going to be 20 creatures in the deck. And it's going to be Soltai. This guy. And these are all just going to be play sets of each of these creatures. This dude, Relentless Dead. Which that one is also from this set. You can pay X and return target zombie card from your graveyard to play. So, you know, When it dies, you pay that X, return something, and then at the end of turn, get the prize zombie back.
Sure.
So those two, Risen Executioner, which
right.
That's the zombie lord you can cast from your graveyard, Den Protector, and Deathmiss Raptor, which, you know, obviously you flip the Den Protector, you get the Deathmiss Raptor back, and then at the end of turn, you get the prize zombie back, and then you also get a card back to your hand with the Den Protector flip.
Okay, so you have to put the things in the graveyard to get it to come back.
Yeah.
That might work.
But
it might be okay.
I mean, if it entered so, play from the graveyard, or you cast it from the graveyard, you get this back for free.
Sure.
I mean, granted, it's tapped, but you can do it at the end of, or during their turn also.
Right. With something like the Deathmiss Raptor or whatever.
Yeah, or the Relentless Dead.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, you know, you can...
Seems okay.
You jump block with the Relentless Dead, and then you pay X and get, you know, an X-costing zombie back or whatever.
Sure.
Does it have to be a zombie?
I don't know. I don't know. This deck, even for me, it sounds like too many steps, but I could be wrong.
Things just have to be dead.
It's true. Yeah, I don't know. If this is, you got 20 creatures in your deck, what's the other, 16 cards?
Oh.
Like, ballpark me. Removal spells?
Yeah, probably removal and draw. Or mill.
Okay. Like, self-mill or both?
Yeah.
So, I don't even know. I can't think of something. But, there's gotta be some sort of good self-milling type of effect. Alright. I get it. I don't know if I like it. I have to see how it plays. But, sure. It might be a thing. So, did you get to play some Magic last Friday?
Yeah.
What, without going into too great a detail, which is, I think, is our biggest problems right now. We're getting too deep into the play-by-plays in the previous weeks. But without going super, super deep, what did you do and how did you do?
Well, I played the Mono Black Control deck with Remorseless Punishment.
Right. I remember you talking about that last week. Now, it was something you were working on as a result of a challenge, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's... let's see. Well, I went 3-2. I lost to a blue-red prowess deck. And then the next round, I beat a blue-red prowess deck. And I think, let's see, both of them were 2-0 games. Then I beat a mono green ramp deck. That was a 2-1. Then I beat a Tarka red. And I lost to blue-green ramp. Mainly because... Well, I can't deal with the Lumbering Falls because Hexproof.
Right.
But I feel if I had 4 Blighted Fins in my deck, I would have won against the blue-green ramp because, well, like I said, Lumbering Falls. And if I control the rest of the board, then they can't not sacrifice that land.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. I think there's definitely a really strong deck in there somewhere. Didn't you at one point tell me that you got a guy to have to pay like 25 life because of Remorseless Punishment?
Yes. it was actually the first... actually, was it the first? No, it was the second game. Or the second round. So, my only creature in the deck is the Deathbridge Shaman, and that's the 3-1 for 3 mana that when it dies, an opponent discards a card. So, you know, a 2-for-1, essentially. In that game, you know, I was just swinging with the Deathbridge Shaman. And then I cast two Remorseless Punishments against him. So, obviously, when you control the hand and you control the board, they have nothing to do other than lose life.
Right.
Game two, the game just was going nowhere because, well, I discard all the creatures, I discard all of the burn spells that would be directed at me, you know, to force him to only kill my Deathbridge Shaman. And then I had two Mage Rings, and this is how long the game was going on. I had two Mage Rings at five counters each, and two Mirror Pools in play. So, when I cast the Remorseless Punishment, I used all of the counters on the Mage Rings, and I sacrificed both Mirror Pools, and copied the Remorseless Punishment twice.
I do like that.
It was ridiculous. Like, the people that were watching the game, oh, they just started busting up laughing, and, well, I think you know I've been called a monster a time or two before when it comes to playing this game. Just because of the silly things that I do.
It happens.
Yeah. But no, that was definitely the highlight of the night, because I'd never expect to essentially cast six Remorseless Punishments in one turn.
I mean, you know, it's a thing that could happen. Obviously, because it did.
But I do think, after playing it, I am going to take out the Mirror Pools, because they're just too inefficient.
Yeah, I was running one in the, what are we calling it? Mardu Green list that I ran.
Yeah.
And it just got to the situation where it was too difficult to, it was not reliable enough for me. That being said, I think there's a lot of good places for it.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know exactly where that deck is.
I think in a creature-heavy deck or a classic control deck, you know, like Delver or not Delver, but Esper, or just, you know, blue-black or blue-white control, I think that card is great in one of those decks. But mono-black control, probably not so much.
Yeah, I think you need some sort of, I don't know. I think you need to be taking advantage of the original pain lands, get those colorless mana sources going. At least that was my situation. Often it was my only colorless source.
Well, see, I didn't have an issue with the colorless mana.
Right, because you are also running the Mage Ring network.
Well, I was doing that, but I was also running a Blighted Fin, which that's the sacrifice one.
Right.
And, hold on, I think I was running another one. I have the deck right here. Yeah, the Blighted Fin. Mirror Pool. Mage Ring. No, that's it. So I had multiple sources of colorless. It's just, even still, it was unpredictable at best as to whether or not it was going to be something that I could advantage from by losing a land and paying 5 mana.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. Like I said, I think it's any opportunity to turn lands into other resources later in the game is good to have. It's just a matter of can you make it work all the rest of the time. For example, the different colorless decks that are going around right now, again, Remington ran one for one of the PPTQs. Very, very good. It does a lot of work, and it can often get there out of nowhere having something like that. Where, you know, something like in my deck, where it's a challenge to get it to happen, and honestly, I almost think that I would rather just had a 27th, like a fetch land, I think, almost. But, I don't know. It's a good card, I'm just not sure what else to do with it right now. And it doesn't look like we're really going to get all that much of a calling here in the next set, with the possible exception of the monster frog.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to later.
I think the mirror pool would work better in a creature heavy deck.
I mean, maybe. Like the ability to copy spells as well as
creatures.
And again, it really depends on what kind of spells.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're using something like, Treasure Cruise, going on a cruise.
Right.
And you're paying essentially one blue mana for it and exiling the graveyard.
Six mana to draw six cards.
Yeah, like, that seems fine there. Or even on a Dig Through Time. Like, there are opportunities to really take advantage of it. It's just they are going to become harder here in the next couple of, in the next few months.
Yeah.
So I also got to play some Magic on Friday. We did a sealed deck. Something I've been working on at the arena is getting more sealeds into the rotation. So we probably have one every 6 weeks or so, and last week was our sealed. My pool was not great. I felt like it was okay. But I really didn't have any powerful cards. Like, my best cards was the 4/4 Angel, that when you landfall, you regrow something from your graveyard to your hand. Or if it's a Plains, it comes back onto the battlefield. And, like, a Orm Reef land. And then I had, like, a couple of the 2/1 flyers that made another 1/1 guy. So, like, I'm like, oh, I'll be able to trade these guys off early, make them into 2/3s if I can, and then I can, like, play a Plains and, like, regrow them later on and get 2 creatures. Whoa, look at my combo! Where I proceeded to run up against a guy who opened Deceiver Forms, Kozilek the Great Distortion. Is it Eye of Ulamog? What is that land out of the freaking set that taps for 2 mana if you have a bunch of lands, but then you can, like, sacrifice it?
Sanctum of Ugin? Get it.
Maybe. You can, like, sacrifice it if you cast a thing that costs so much, like 6 or greater, then you can, like, sacrifice it to go get another thing that costs 6 or more.
Yeah.
Like, that was real, real painful. Like, oh, I'm going to cast this Deceiver of Form, and I'm going to go get this 7 mana exile spell. Like,
yeah,
awesome.
That's
thanks,
Sanctum.
Gabe. But, it was full of bombs. And then, specifically, it came down to a situation where I mistapped, or I would have been able to win the game, I think. And this is a lesson for everybody. I was probably tired, not really 100% into the game, and I sequenced my spells incorrectly. I only had one blue source at the time, and I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure I'm going to play this 1/3 that can tap his creatures, because I needed to, because he had the equipment that says your creature has menace, and he had this Deceiver of Forms out, and he had the 5/5. I think, I don't know. He had another creature, as well as the black-white man land. So he could spend a bunch of mana and wake up the land. And I had 3 blockers, essentially. So I needed to kill this Deceiver of Forms. Well, I had sideboarded in the counter-target instant spell. I forget what it's called. That starts with a D. But I had sideboarded that in. I had it in my hand. Dispel, yes, thank you. I had that in my hand. And I went, because he had a whole bunch of instant speed removal. That's why I brought it in, right? So I'm like, okay. I'm going to kill your tapped creature with this spell. And had I sequenced it in that way, I'm going to kill this thing. I could have dispelled his spell that he used to save his creature, I think he made it regenerate. And I basically lost the game because of not sequencing that way. What I did was I played my 1-3, and then I tried to kill his thing. But I didn't have the blue source available any longer to counter his regenerate my creature. So had I done it differently, I could have killed his big creature. I would have had two creatures to block whatever he gave menace to. I could have chumped the land the next turn, and I would have been in a position that I just would have been able to take over the game after that. Because I had cards in my hand, and he was out of cards. So he was relying on this top deck, but he already blew up his land. He already dug out one of his big bombs. I potentially would have killed his land off, because that's how he was kind of doing it, was waking up his land, giving it menace to try to grab a huge life swing on me. So it was just that situation where sequencing my spells incorrectly cost me the game. I still could have very easily lost the game, especially if he did have the Kozilek, the Great Distortion, which I overheard people say that he had, but I didn't see it myself, and he never tutored it up against me.
Well, that, and you'd have to have two colorless specific.
Yeah, and he was running, like, the creatures that tap for mana, that were for colorless and stuff like that. Like, I don't think he... It would have been rough for him to cast it, but it was not impossible.
Right.
Especially when he blew up his land to, you know, go tutor something up. So I think it was a difficult card for him to cast, and maybe why he never cast it, or didn't cast it against me. But, I don't know. The deck was very good. And at that point, I was just kind of got to the point where I was like, you know what? I don't think I care anymore. And, I don't know. I just kind of get in a situation where I really like sealed. I love doing sealed. But then when I realize that my pool is nowhere near as strong as other people's pool, I'm just like, I'm done. And that's not a fun thing for me.
No.
I think I'd just rather play draft.
However,
so, yeah,
when I come back in May, we need to schedule that to be the sealed event to be around when I'm there.
Well, you give me some date range and I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
Let's see. It's been a little bit. We've got some more preview cards. Obviously, one of them has already got you excited with the prized amalgam.
I'm just going to call it the prized zombie because that word is stupid.
I mean, it's amalgam.
Yeah, right? I know, but it's still...
It's amalgam of zombie.
I just,
that's fine.
I just realize that people are going to say it wrong, so that's why I'm just... I mean, me specifically, I know I'm going to say it wrong. But
you might as well just make up a new name for it altogether.
Exactly.
Like, why don't we just call it, like, what's the name? Like, let's just call it Paul.
Okay.
Or PA. What's a PA? Like, I don't know. There's got to be something. But yeah, it looks like a Paul. It could be a Paul. That card is Paul now. But no, we kind of hinted at the... What is it actually called? The Gitrog monster?
Yeah, the Gitrog monster.
It's a big old 6/6 for a green, a black, and 3 for a legendary frog horror creature with death touch. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice this guy, unless you sacrifice a land. You may play an additional land on each of your turns. Whenever one or more lands are put into a graveyard from anywhere, draw a card. So basically what this thing says is sacrifice a land,
draw a card,
or sacrifice this creature, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can sacrifice it or the land, depending on your situation.
I do want to note that once this thing was previewed, the price for Crucible of World spiked to around $80.
Yeah, that's what I saw, which kind of makes me want to sell some Crucible of Worlds.
But right.
But maybe not. Like, I don't know. Maybe this thing is good. Maybe people are right. Maybe this thing is going to be just a beast in Modern?
Well, it's definitely going to be a monster.
It's definitely going to be a monster, you're correct. But it is a mythic. I'm on board. Like, it seems alright.
Well, I mean, just think about it in modern, if you play it with ramp, and then you, just twice a turn, you, what is it, ghost quarter their land, and then draw
sure.
two?
If you have a Crucible of Worlds out.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, keep in mind, one of the most commonly played cards right now is,
Natural State.
Kozilek's Return. Or Kozilek's Command. Blows up an artifact, does 2 damage, discards a card, etc.
Culligan's Command.
Yeah, Culligan's Command. So, I mean, I'm not so sure people are going to be that thrilled with that particular combo. I think it's a fun one to brew up and play with. But to me, I see this guy, you know, like, hey, here's my 5 drop. Now I'm going to crack a fetch land. I'm going to draw a card. I'm going to get a land. Oh, looky here. I got another fetch land. I'm going to play my fetch land for my second land this turn. Crack it. Go get a land. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, enough value there with just fetch lands that I think it's going to be pretty good. And even if you just, like, use this to augment your, like, your green Eldrazi list, like, there's no reason that this can't just be added to, you know, put some black in and add this to your green Eldrazi list, I don't think.
Right, especially if you sacrifice that Sanctum of Ugin.
Well, that, or, you know, like, you get Spell Mastery and you put 1 forced into play tapped and 2 in your hand, and you're just like, forced. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's a lot of stuff to make it worth it. You know, any of these guys that say you can play an additional land each turn gets a lot of value in my book. Like, we built around the red-green guy that did the same thing. Like, all those same strategies, I think, come into play here as well. And both of the landfall things that are green and black as opposed to green and red are very, very good. So, I don't know. I think you can do a lot of the same tricks with it, and I think that it's going to be an exciting card in general.
Yeah, that and the dual lands are currently still, you know, friendly. I mean, right. We do have the enemy ones, but the rare ones are all friendly. For allied lands.
So, out of these cards that have come out basically this week, the one that has made me the most hot and bothered is actually a common. Angelic Purge. A white and 2 for a sorcery as an additional cost to cast Angelic Purge. Sacrifice a permanent exile target artifact, creature, or enchantment.
Yeah.
Like, it's usually pretty easy to find a permanent to sacrifice. I think you made a comment when I'm like, dude, I like this card a lot. You're like, yeah, especially with all these clues that you're going to be making with other cards. And I very much so agree with your sentiment there. That that's a good one. I think that's going to be a very good card. And being a common, you're going to see it in a lot of formats. So be careful. Limited formats especially. I don't know, do you have anything else that kind of stood out that maybe has kind of slipped through the cracks a little bit? There's one more that I have.
Well, there's one that I really like simply for the troll factor and assault formation,
mm-hmm.
and that is the Gold Knight Castigator. That's the red and 2 colorless for the 4/9 Flying Haste Angel.
Okay, I know which one you're talking about now.
Yeah, if something hits her,
it doubles the damage that's dealt to it or to you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like her a lot, actually. Does assault formation rotate?
Nope.
I don't think so, right?
It's in dragons.
Yeah, so it might stick around, and this could be a really good, like, 2-of finisher.
Right.
In a deck like
just
that.
Just for fun.
Well, I mean, a 4 mana, do 9.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems pretty good.
Well, and I'm turn 4. In standard, that's right. Pretty bonkers in its own.
Right. Especially if you could do something like, you know, on turn 5, you can give it plus 0, plus 5 or something.
Right.
And it just finishes the game in 2 swings.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like it. There's another card that I think is pretty hot, and some people are going to probably hate on this quite a bit.
Well, they're wrong.
I think it's Therabin Gargoyle?
Hold on.
I don't know if you've seen this one. It's one generic mana, for a 2/2 artifact creature. It's a gargoyle with defender.
Yes.
And it says 6, transform the gargoyle. And when you do that, it transforms into a 2/4 flying creature. Which doesn't seem that impressive, but a 1-mana 2/2 is good.
Yeah.
Like, there's always going to be some sort of creature to deal with on the ground. And then this doesn't have to happen at any particular time, right? So the ability to just be like, all right, end of turn, I'll turn this into a 4/2.
Right.
You know, it's very strong. Especially if you're doing something like, I don't know, some artifact mana, some accelerants. So if somebody looks at your land pile and go, oh, you've only got 5 lands, you know, do something, and you're like, tap my 0/1, make an extra mana. They're like, oh, shit, that guy taps for mana. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can get some weird synergies out of something like this. And a 4/2 body on a flyer is not unreasonable. I don't know. This is the kind of creature that I do enjoy. You know, it comes down early. It's relevant on the board. It's defensive. It's got everything going for it. And then, bam, it's a sweet offensive card.
There is one other card that I'm highly excited for. And we didn't talk about the preview cards a few weeks ago, but that's when this one was revealed, the Heir of Falconwrath. And
yeah, I don't know what that card is.
I feel that card is going to be, I don't want to say a bomb, but I want to say Delver-esque in Modern and Legacy. For black and a colorless, it's a 2/1, and you discard a card to transform it. You can only activate the ability once each turn, and it transforms into a 3/2 flyer.
Okay.
So basically, I mean, for one extra mana, you can get a Delver whenever you want, instead of, you know, having to try for a brainstorm and getting it.
Sure.
And the 3/2 flyer is why I said Delver-esque.
Right. Yeah, since I haven't played in Innistrad before, it was one of the blocks that I was taking a break during. I'm not sure how important some of these things are going to be in which formats. Like, obviously, Delver is huge in Modern, and it's way huge in, like, Legacy and some other formats. How great it was, like, in the Standard that season, I don't know. So, all these people are like, oh, it's the second coming of the Delver. Like, there's a lot of shocks in this format. And a lot of them aren't leaving. So, I don't know how relevant it is. You know?
Yeah.
Again, I don't know how good a card like that's going to be right now. Maybe it's going to be great. Maybe it's going to be the bomb. Maybe it's going to be fine at best. I don't know. And I wish I did, because the pre-release is coming up in a little over a week. Like, I think it's the 1st, and today we're taping on the 23rd, so
yeah.
You have 8 days. So when you're hearing this, hopefully you're hearing this on Thursday, you have a week, basically, to get ready. So, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of strange possibilities in the set, a lot of exciting cards. The artwork for the lands look pretty sweet. We're back to standard lands, so those of you who don't have all your full art lands that you want, jump on them now. But I'm telling you, there's some pretty good ones in here. Some of the mountains are very nice. I don't know. Anyway, any final thoughts on the new set coming out a week before? Anything in particular that's... I know that our different Facebook channels are going crazy.
Yeah.
What do you think of this Sorin? I don't think we talked about this new Sorin.
Oh, this new Sorin is bonkers. That's the most PG thing I could say about it.
Okay. That's good.
Well, let me get... Like...
It seems okay.
Well, he's the most expensive Sorin.
Sure, he's another 6-mana Planeswalker.
Yeah.
Which seems to be their point where they're trying to, like, make the Planeswalkers as powerful as they can, as pushed as they can at 6.
Yeah.
Because I think the Elspeth tested really, really well for them.
Because what it was at 4, that it was just ridiculously powered.
Right.
And I think they just figured that was too early in the game to have something that strong, in my opinion. But no, I really, really like this new Sorin. I mean, every single one of its abilities is just great.
Well, should we just go ahead and hit him, I guess?
Yeah.
So you plus one to reveal the top card of your library and put that card into your hand. Each opponent loses life equal to the converted mana cost.
At the very worst, you're going to reveal a land.
Correct.
Oh, darn. You revealed a land and got a land out of the way for a dead draw.
Sure. On the upside, you have, like, I don't know what. It's Progenitus, and they get hit for 10.
Right. Or, okay. I mean, even Kozilek costs 10.
There you go, Kozilek. That's probably much more likely.
Ulamog costs 10.
Ulamog, something like that. All right, so negative X. Sorin deals X damage to target creature or planeswalker, and you gain X life.
Yep.
So that's, I mean,
that's a very black-white thing.
I can go all the way down to negative 5, and, you know, that kills a lot of things and keeps your Sorin around, and you gain some life.
Or even if they're, you know, almost dead, you can just kill them.
Right.
Like,
well,
swing all out, make them, you know, think that you're blocked, that they... are blocking properly and taking, you know, a certain amount, and then pop him for lethal after you cast him.
Well, it doesn't hit player, target creature, or planeswalker.
Oh, well.
I got that wrong once before. P word is not always player. Sometimes it's planeswalker. But and then -9 for the ultimate play number of 1/1 black zombie vampire. Sorry. Black Vampire Knights. I don't know why I saw black and I said zombie. My brain just... too many zombies lately. So 1/1 black Vampire Knight creature tokens with lifelink onto the battlefield equal to the highest life total amongst all players. So here's my army of 1/1s.
Yeah, which is just ridiculous because Impact Tremors...
I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch, but I'll go with Impact Tremors. Like, I'll go with that one.
Don't say you wouldn't.
If you could give it haste, that'd be really great.
That's what the Bushwhacker is for.
Wow, this deck has gotten crazy.
Yep, Mardu creatures.
Somehow you have to uptick this thing at least three times and have it live for an ultimate.
Yep.
Oh, man, that's going to be rough. Anyway, pretty good. I'm pretty pleased overall. I think it's going to be an exciting format. I'm not sure what everything's going to happen. I'm investing in the colorless deck right now. I suggest everyone else do the same. I think it's just going to be... one of the decks, at least until the next set comes out,
which
goes with it.
Which colorless deck?
Any one of the colorless decks.
Oh, that's...
any of the Eldrazi aggro decks, I think, is going to be quite good.
They're almost all relatively inexpensive, and they all have, like, the same, like, four cards as the key. So, like, you just buy those four cards, and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
I'll pass.
Shut up. Thonaut Seer is too good.
I'm not saying that it's not. I'm just saying I'll pass on that.
It puts people just right on tilt so hard, so fast. Like, how do you... You can't anything. That card is too good.
Grasp of Darkness.
Okay. So, draw your card, and then I'm going to pick the best card out of your new cards to get rid of?
Well, no, if you cast a Thonaut Seer, then it's already...
So, all right.
But there's
cast,
ways to get rid of it. It's just
a 4-4
for 4. Seer.
Sure, it is. It is. So I cast the Thonaut Seer, trigger on the stack. What do?
I kill it.
Okay. So you try to kill it.
Uh-huh.
I tap my land and make it a 5-5. Or I let you kill it. Then the next trigger goes on the stack. You draw your card.
Yep.
Then I take the best card out of what's left over?
Yeah.
So it's still a 2-for-1?
Which, I mean, at the very worst, if you're playing against my deck, you're going to get a remorseless punishment.
Sure. Weren't we just talking about how 2-for-1s are good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if it costs, like, 4 mana? I'm just saying. I'm okay with it. I think that card's too good. And then when people play it against me, I just kind of like, no, don't look at my hand. Go away. I concede. Move on to the next game. Anyway, before we get into the game, which I have not thought of, so I'll give you a second to think about it. I want to go ahead and talk just a little bit more about Jack Vassil Memorial Fund. I did go ahead and glue a little bit of a teaser in at the start of last week's episode. They're not a sponsor or anything. Although if they were to ask, I would definitely give them free commercials, you know, for a while. I think they're pretty awesome. So basically what happened is this individual's son, I believe, got really sick. And people were, you know, he was a big member of their local, like, I think he's a board game player actually, but he's a local gamer. And his son got sick, and people started sending him money to try to help out with all the medical bills and everything that's going on. And finally got to a situation where he wanted to pay that love forward and started a memorial fund. So that's jackvessel.org. You can go there. You can hear the whole story. You can do everything about it. The reason it came to my attention is because my friend Dan came down with a mysterious illness about 8 months ago, I think. Give or take, maybe 9. And his company worked with him the best they could. They gave him all of his... They paid out all of his vacation to help get him a paycheck as long as they could. His short-term disability did as much work as it could. And now they're kind of struggling trying to get the long-term disability to kick in. And I know that just jackvessel.org sent them a very nice sum to help them kind of get through a little bit more of this hardship. So I know I've linked Dan's GoFundMe in the past. I probably will do so again on the show notes of this show. But, you know, this is another place that you can send money if you don't want to send to a specific individual. This could help a lot of people. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And so the wife is standing here telling me how hungry she is, so we need to play this game and wrap up the show, Travis.
Okay.
So what do you want to do? How are we going to end the show this week?
What is your favorite game that we've played?
I like the Would You Rathers.
You want to keep doing that? Because I think they're fun.
I like the Would You Rathers. Now, do you have Would You Rathers for me, or am I have to make one up on the spot? How do you want to do
it? Sorry, I almost died.
That's fine. Would you rather die or continue doing the podcast?
Well, sometimes.
I know. Sometimes the podcast is the not most exciting part of the show.
No, I'm like, sometimes I just want to die when I'm sick.
Oh, I always want to die sick. I'm the worst sick person ever.
Okay. So, have you ever been to the Would You Rather website?
I have not. Okay. There's a Would You Rather website?
Yeah. Well, it's called Either or Either.io. So, would you rather lose your teeth in a skateboarding accident or break your hands on a bike?
I think I would rather lose my teeth in a skateboarding accident. Like, I need my hands. I'm a streamer now. If I can't use my hands, I don't think that I would do very well on the stream.
Right.
Like, I think it would be difficult. That being said, I am a talker. But you can get new teeth put in.
I feel that, you know, you as a streamer and a video gamer, it would be cheaper in the long run to just get a bunch of dentures.
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll be fine. And then I could do cool things like, you know, pull my teeth out on camera and, like...
Right? Just...
Have you ever seen it? Like a grandpa, like they have the dentures and they can just, like, hurl their teeth out, like, halfway out of their mouth.
Or they just fall off.
And you just, like, do that on camera, like, wah! Oh, no, I like it. That sounds good to me. Plus, that means I also know how to skateboard.
Right.
Well, at least a little bit.
All right, so, would you rather have the voice of Pee Wee Herman and always dress perfectly, or have the voice of Morgan Freeman and dress terribly?
Well, I'm already the white Morgan Freeman, so I'm going to stick with the white Morgan Freeman. Like, who doesn't want to have sex with my voice?
I don't think you're
hearing the words that come out of my mouth right now.
I do, and they're terrible.
Hey, Travis. How you doing, sexy?
Well, I'm alright, but I'd still rather never hear that again.
You want me to rub some wax on your head? Yeah. Alright, hit me with one more, then we're gonna close the show.
Well, as soon as the website starts cooperating, I will.
No!
Right?
What did this thing do? Just, like, give you random ones?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I'm going to have to visit this website.
Yeah, it's just...
Throw it in the show notes, okay. And I'll link. What else do we got? I love these.
A frozen website.
Well, then, you know what? I'm going to work on wrapping up the show, and you can come up with one more in a minute. So, this is Two Trolls and a Brew. You can check us out at our homepage, samusgarobo.com. Or, of course, you can find us at iTunes. If you do go to iTunes, please leave us a review. It does help a lot, and we really appreciate it. You know what I didn't do? I never did check this week to see if there was an email. However, some weeks we do have emails, and I will check for next week's show.
So.
But, hang on. I'm wrapping up the show, Travis.
I know, and I'm going to interrupt you.
Okay, interrupt me.
Would you rather stare at the sun for 2 minutes? Or drink half a liter of scalding water.
I think I'll drink the water. I don't like the sun. My migraines are bad enough.
Right.
Cursory having the sun around, I think. Yeah, I think I could accept it. I'd be like in Mr. Baseball? I'll have to just get like a really attractive Asian woman to yell at me, accept. As I drink the bottle of water.
Yes.
But, I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe it's easy. It doesn't say that I had to stare at it bare-eyed, right?
It just says stare at the sun.
So, like, maybe if I had, like, some welder's goggles on, I could stare at the sun instead.
Right.
I'll do that. With welder's goggles on, I'll stare at the sun for 2 minutes.
It seems very cheaty, but I'll accept it.
Oh, I'm just trying to think outside the box. That's what good trolls do.
Right.
Speaking of good trolling, if you'd like to send us an email, the number 2trollsbrew@gmail.com. Of course, you could also follow us at Twitter. I'm Samus Garobo, all one word, SamusGurobo. He's Turtle Power 319. Who's been tweeting a lot this week? You must have got one of those apps to hook your Facebook up to your Twitter, huh?
Yeah, more or less.
More or less, I thought so. Of course, if you'd like to watch me play different video games, mostly right now Heroes of the Storm and Dungeons & Dragons Online, although we're also started our new Dungeons & Dragons campaigns on Sunday, which is actually quite a bit of fun. You can check that out at twitch.tv/SamusGarobo. All right, Travis, did you have one last one for us this week?
He's like, nope. Refresh, refresh, refresh.
All
refresh,
right. Refresh. Would you rather die from hypothermia or die from hypothermia? And well, one of them is the cold hypothermia, the other one is the heat hypothermia.
Sure. As a pilot, we're actually trained for the warning signs of hypothermia, right?
Okay.
And depending, because, you know, you're up so high, you could have lose some cabin pressure and some heating, and it can kick in real quick. So, having experienced it a little bit, like not really, but like partially, I think I would do the cold hypothermia because, like, one, you're not sweating your balls off. You know, you might be cold, you might be like, oh, I'm so cold. But you get over that. And then you start to hallucinate, and then the blackouts happen, and you get a little disoriented. And all those things can be mildly more pleasant than all those things while sweating your balls off. Like, the worst thing that you could happen is to be dehydrated while you're dying. I don't like it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think I'd take the chili though. All right, man. Well, it was a good show. I appreciate it. I realize we're a little bit shorter than usual, but that's how life works. What's the matter, Travis? I just set you up. I gave it to you. I handed it to you on a silver platter. Then you're like, ba-dump-chink, troll on.
It was crazy. My God, yeah, but I started dying of coughing.
It sounded like you were laughing.
I did start laughing, then I had to mute myself because I started coughing.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. No, troll on.
Troll on, everybody.